direct yourselves to the flag and follow me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There was no action taken in closed session. Our student representative to the board, Leticia Staples. Leticia?
Okay, so from MCAA, we have a report. Starflight will be our first performance of the year. Starflight consists of stories written by our students in creative writing classes. Our students then act out the best of these stories. It will be held at the outdoor stage on Friday, September 14th and Saturday, September 15th. The show begins at 7:30. There will be an assembly on Thursday, September 20th. The purpose of this assembly is to acknowledge our students with perfect attendance and to acknowledge those on the honor roll. There will also be student performances. MCAA students will be attending interactive workshops at the Ashland Oregon Shakespeare Festival. They will be leaving on Wednesday, September 26th and return Friday, September 28th. The PTSA will be putting on a Cool Hand Loops drive-through fundraiser. This fundraiser will be located at the parking lot nearest to MCAA office and take place between 4 and 6 p.m. Dinners will be $16 each and $48 for a family of four. Tickets can be purchased at MCAA office. College Day is Wednesday, October 3rd. MCAA students will be going to Yuba College to meet with representatives of various colleges. The annual Walk for the Arts fundraiser will be Thursday, October 11th during our ninth block. This is the PTSA fundraiser that raises money for senior scholarships, field trips, instrument repairs, etc. There will be a school spirit week during the week of Halloween, the Halloween dance, beginning Monday, October 22nd. The Halloween dance will be Friday, October 26th, and will be held in the cafeteria from 7 to 10 p.m. There will be a costume contest at the dance. And then Lyndhurst High School. Here at Lyndhurst High School, time flies by. Our ASB and leadership class, we're planning our homecoming festivities for over 3 weeks, but it felt like a lot less time went by. Our first Senate meeting was August 28th, but hosted by our ASB Vice President along with our ASB Secretary. Our senators were given an outlet to express themselves and their opinions. All of their opinions and concerns were taken into consideration because the ASB strives to advocate for the students in the best way they can. All our senators are appreciated and we thank them for their continuous support. Homecoming week was a short week with Monday off for Labor Day, and the rest of the week had various dress-up days for the students of Lyndhurst to feel unified and to build excitement for the week. Our student participation continued to grow each day. It was amazing to see how unified our school could be. Not only did our students have amazing participation, our teachers did as well. They always do their best to represent our school. Our Friday was packed with various events going on. Our ASB and leadership class did their best to set up for this eventful day, often spending their free time working on posters and decorations to promote our homecoming and school spirit. The morning of homecoming was very busy with all of the setting up for Blazer Fest rally. Excitement was high for everyone in the gym. It was, after all, our first rally of the year and homecoming day. At the Blazer Fest rally, our countdown started, displayed on the screens, and tension grew as the numbers got closer to zero. Once the countdown hit zero, the beat dropped and the room went pitch black besides all of the screens, light up balloons, and the glow-in-the-dark bracelets each student had. It was an intense start to the rally, but no doubt set the mood for Blazer Fest. Our MCs were amazing. They really know how to get the crowd going. Our student participation was truly fantastic. Everyone was cheering and having a good time. The students were having so much fun that they didn't even leave when the lunch bell rang. They all remained seated and continued to cheer. It was such a relief to see that everyone enjoyed the rally. Our students were raving about the rally. Only good comments were said. This was such a great start to Blazer Fest and homecoming. Later that day, our Blazer football team had a home game against Las Plumas. There was so much school spirit in the crowd, red was everywhere. During halftime, our various classes showed off their floats, each class proud of their work. The creativity of our students has shown on each of the floats. The prince and princesses of each class were on their class float, waving as they went by. Our students spent the past week voting for who they thought deserved the crown for king and queen. When our king and queen were announced at halftime, the applause was very loud. Our team worked hard the whole game, putting in all their effort to win. Unfortunately, they lost, but that wasn't enough to tame the excitement of the day. Next up was the Blazer Fest homecoming dance. Our gym was full of kids dancing and enjoying their time together. The music varied, so everyone had a good time, regardless of the music they like. The decorations were mostly glow-in-the-dark, which really lit up the gym. The students at our dance continued to dance the whole night, mingling and staying hydrated. The school was truly unified in the whole day, and it was since that was our first rally and dance. Imagine the next rally and dance this year is truly going to be amazing. And then Marysville High School. This one's kind of short because we haven't done much in September because it's coming later. So, well, I can share more next week. But September is now in motion. Marysville High School had our back-to-school night on September 5th. Parents, grandparents, and guardians came to support their students by walking through their daily schedule, meeting the teachers, and seeing how the classes are run. Back-to-school night is always informative and very successful. Last week, we had our second annual 3-on-3 basketball challenge. This helped the staff and the students get to know one another better and feel included by playing a fun game of basketball against one another. Many smiles are seen during this exciting activity. Looking later into the month, MHS will be having our annual Club Rush, Link Crew, and Lunchtime activities. During Club Rush, many clubs here at MHS will be selling items, telling about their clubs, and recruiting new members to join. The Link Crew activity will keep the new freshmen involved with their leaders and the other freshmen. The lunchtime activities are fun games that leadership put on to help the students have a little fun during the lunch. These activities involve multiple students and are super fun. Yeah, that's all.
Great. Thank you very much, Leticia. Good job. Comments from the board members. Ms. Scott? Mr. Davis?
Yeah, I just had a few notes from my visit with Cedar Lane, and enjoyed visiting with Jill Segner. She was hosting an open house for her 4th to 6th graders, and even though it was Labor Day weekend, it was very well attended. Very, very impressive. Introduction, she introduced her teachers. She even has a member of her staff who interprets Spanish. And given what I saw the people sitting there, that was very helpful for those parents. And so I thought that was just a great introduction for some of these new parents that don't know what's going on and just trying to figure it out. But the things that I was impressed with is the campus has been painted all over. One of the bad drinking fountains got completely replaced. The other one would have been, except it's called plumbing. And so they couldn't get it replaced. But everything else on the list that she was hoping to get repaired got done. And the campus looks great. The other thing that I thought was impressive was this, they've implemented this Raptor security system for the visitors to the campus. And apparently you can use any legal identification, your driver's license or whatever, of visitors, some sort of an ID. And so they are using that system on that campus, which I thought was a really nice safeguard for those kids and those staff. The last thing I thought was interesting is they've been struggling with the kindergarten kids get into school, and so they're working on an entrance that's closer to the actual building. And so before they'd have to go all the way around, and so they get a little confused about, especially it's kids, young kids. And so they think they've got that worked out, and it looks like it's going to be really helpful. So, but I also wanted to make a note on the, it's 9/11, and I really appreciate the district acknowledging the day. I think all of us who were around kind of know where we were that day, and it's been 17 years, and for me it just seems like yesterday. It was it's still upsetting for a lot of people, and I've been to the 9/11 memorial there at Ground Zero in Manhattan, and it's, if you ever get a chance, that is something I've never, I can't tell you the feeling. It's very, very sad. But with that, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Allison.
I hope you guys bear with me. You know, 9/11 is kind of special to me. I mean, obviously it's special to the country. And I just think there's something I think is really curious, and I just want to bring this up. I know I had a student that year that came to me a couple of days after 9/11, or a few days after, and said, you know, Mr. Allison, we were scheduled to be on that plane that was going to fly from Newark to San Francisco. And for some reason, they decided to fly home the day before. Who knows why? But the one that's really close to me is my in-laws, my wife's parents. They just celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary on the 9th. And they're almost 90, and they don't do what they used to do, but they, on their anniversary, they would go to New York, or they would go someplace, you know, like in Florida, or down to Las Vegas or something to celebrate their anniversary. I mean, they're party people. And that's probably why I married my wife. But they were scheduled to fly back on that same plane that was going to come, that ended up being the one that crashed in Philadelphia, the one from Newark to San Francisco. And it just kind of amazes me when you look at all four planes. You know, all the planes are big planes. I mean, they hold between 200 and 300 people. I mean, I've flown on a 767, and I've flown on these planes. They're huge. And the thing that really gets to me is that in these planes, there are only like 50 to 60 passengers. Lots of people left, that they changed their, for some reason, they changed. Now, I don't know, I guess there's a word, serendipity. That's probably the wrong word. But, you know, it's just interesting. What a coincidence. You know, and a lot of people are really thankful for that. And so,
thank you. Mr. Boom? Mr. Fleury?
Just like to give a shout out to Brian, the technology department. He helped some of us take the survey that we had to twice, and they were very...
Three times.
They were very helpful, and I appreciate that. Also, the department that does the homeless, I'm very aware of that, working in the river bottoms every summer, and there's more and more and more people. And I've heard comments, very positive comments on Jamie and her department, what they do to help the homeless people. And it's, I think you make a bigger impression than you know. To see that every day, as I did this summer, it's just hard to see and let people know just what goes on with the people, with kids and that have to live in that situation. And we're getting more and more all the time. Also, Johnson Park got a new paint job, and it's a new security system. And the paint job really looks nice, and the schools look very nice. And congratulations to our administrators. I know the job is getting harder every year as more and more on anybody in the school system, that's just getting hard, and you guys do a great job.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
I would just concur with Mr. Davis. If you ever get a chance, I was lucky enough 2 years ago to give my niece's hand in marriage for my late brother. And I spent a week in New York, and besides Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island and the usual places, I think the place that was most profound was the 9/11 Memorial, and it's hard not to leave there without crying. So, yeah, that's all I need to say. Thank you.
So I had the opportunity to visit with a few teachers on back-to-school nights, and the excitement that I see from some of our teachers is just really, really exciting. With regards to the PLC process and getting to talk about the kids and intervention types of coordination that folks are doing, and even some of the classrooms that are being a little restructured from the norm, I think that's wonderful to give the kids different opportunities. And it was at Oliver's, the fourth grade can't think of the teacher's name right now, but an alternative setting in the classroom where they have some couches and some rolling balls, and where it's kind of an experiment to her, and she actually went out and purchased a lot of the materials by herself to be able to do that. So far, it's doing great. You're kind of curious to see by the end of the year how that's going to play out, but just the excitement to see what's happening at the school sites. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Excuse me.
Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association, 326-648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Units. Public Comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting and give it to the secretary, the board president, or the superintendent. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board policy 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. I see no public comments. Superintendent's report. Dr. Starkey.
Thank you very much. We are going to pull the routine restricted maintenance activities quarterly report and reschedule that for our following meeting on the 25th of September. And then I would like to welcome Eric Preston, principal at Kynock Elementary School, Lori Guy, principal at Edgewater, and Tim Malone, principal of the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. They are serving in cabinet for the next few months, and then also coming and being part of the board meetings with all of us here. So welcome. And that's all I have for this evening. Thank you.
The next item under superintendent is the approval of minutes. If there's no additions or deletions, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. The consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that board members would like to have pulled? If not, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by, was that Mr. Allison? Mm-hmm. By Mr. Allison. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
7 yes. Moving on to new business, Board of Trustees. Resolution 2018-19/09, excuse board members' attendance at meetings of the Board of Trustees. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution to pay Paul Allison for a missed board meeting on 7/17/18. We'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That's 5 yes. Noes, 1 no, me. Any abstentions? 1 abstention, Mr. Allison. Motion carries. Next we have Transportation Department. Resolution 2018-19/10. Authorizing participation in the rural school bus pilot project. Do we have some discussion regarding that? Mr. Hudson, Mr. Taylor?
Sure, I could talk to that for a minute. One of the things that Scott Lane was famous for was going out and finding new ways to get school buses. They're expensive, roughly $150,000 to $180,000 a piece, and Greg has picked up right where he left off. We have this opportunity for this rural grant, and basically if the board approves this, it will allow us to put in for this grant, which we believe that we will get. And in exchange for them providing us a brand new $165,000-ish school bus, ready to go, we will have to destroy one of our old, outdated, and expensive school buses. And in exchange, we also, using existing infrastructure we have, agree to fuel this with green diesel, which costs us a couple cents more a gallon, but it saves us in the end tens of thousands of dollars and gives us a newer school bus. I'll also add, if I could, we won't necessarily talk about this in the unaudited actuals, but one of the things we're discovering, we're spending less money in transportation maintenance now, and I think a big part of that is that we're not driving 30-year-old buses anymore. Our fleet, by and large, looks shiny and new because they are. Sir.
Was this the same? We were talking about this grant a few months ago, weren't we? It was the same?
Similar.
It's a different one?
We are going out for grants every chance we get to find new opportunities. And I think there was one, and you kind of were told that's all you're going to get, and there's an opportunity to put in for a second one. A lot of districts, for whatever reason, don't seem to pursue these things, and we get way more than any district I've ever heard of. It's really, really a success story for our transportation department.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Hodson. With that, is there a motion?
Motion approved.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Motion carries. Educational service. Resolution 2018-19/11. Availability of textbooks and instructional materials. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board set a public hearing to approve a resolution on the availability of textbooks and instructional materials for the 2018-19 school year. Is there a motion to set a public hearing? No.
Actually, you just said
we don't have.
Don't have to do a motion, you just set the public hearing. Just make the announcement.
The public hearing is set for 9/25/2018.
That's your first one. Now you know.
Guess I should have asked earlier. Yeah. Okay, business services, number one. 2017-18, unaudited actual financial report. Mr. Hodson?
Hey, good girls.
They've heard this all before.
What did you do?
Yes.
There we go. All right, super. All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the unaudited actual report that we just completed here recently. And talk a little bit, I shortened this down from prior years. It's worth first establishing the purpose of why we have the unaudited actual report. If you can imagine, during April and May, when we're super busy with creating new budget, closing out the year, and all the like, we make estimates of where we think we're going to end the year. And that is really at best an educated guess. It'd be like counting wildebeests as they're running by. You can do the best you can, but there's a lot of projection in there. At the end of the year, then we stop, we close out all the books, we sweep out every little corner, every account, and then we come up with our unaudited actuals, which is the official statement of the district, and then that goes into being audited. So these are important, one, because it is our final record of how we finished 17-18. And then number two, we use this as kind of a measure to see how we're doing in our forecast. If we're off, do we know why? No problem being off, but what can we glean from that? And so we'll talk a little bit about that here tonight. I'll show you two slides. These I pulled because I think it's helpful. I pull them directly from your executive summary. Many districts just give you the SACS report. That is, in my mind, it is data, not information. So we do a executive summary that lays it out in layman's terms and makes it usable. The takeaways here, so we're down, interestingly, in revenue. Partially our P2 ADA was lower than we thought. And the state, sort of at the last minute, dialed down the gap closure a little bit. So there's about a $700,000 reduction in our revenue. Interesting, while our ending balance for the year, our excess, was positive. You can imagine in some districts that could be very painful if you're operating on a shoestring budget and they move the needle at the last minute. In the others, expenditures, we tended to overestimate those, with the exception of certificated salaries, which is largely driven by the negotiations that were concluded at the end of the year. That understates then in the other for classified. We had salary increases there too, but we still ended up overshooting that by about $500,000. A lot of that we're finding is that the overtime that we had expected just didn't materialize, so that came in under what we expected. But anyway, the net of it is we thought we'd end the year at a $2.1 million deficit. Instead, we're a $1.5 million excess in the general fund unrestricted. To save going through the restricted separately, this is the total when you combine them, and that gives us a $5.3 million excess this year. So that's not necessarily a goal to try to generate ending balance, but it's better than the alternative, certainly. This is a historical view of our last 4 years. I think it's also instructive. If you look, these are the themes that we've sort of hit on before. If you look at the revenue, and I've highlighted that for you, right, from 14-15, a huge jump into 15-16, a slightly less significant jump into 16-17, and then an even smaller one into 17-18. And just as we expected, LCFF was implemented very quickly, and that will continue to plateau over the next few years. We're actually at full implementation, so now you're going to be cost of living only. You see the other side of that is down at the bottom, our net increase to the fund balance. We had a few years in which we were putting a lot of money into the reserve, and that too has begun to taper out. In fact, again, we thought we were going to be at a slight deficit this year. That thing's shaking around a lot, isn't it? This is the ending fund balance over the years. It's helpful to have that historical data. And you see we have about $15 million of what is called unassigned. That isn't specifically tied to some purpose in particular. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll bring back to you probably at first interim a more thorough discussion about the COPs and things we might do with that. But that is our fund balance as it stands right now. Again, ending last year. And then one more point that I think worthy of talking about. There's an opportunity over the summer to do what's called a 45-day revise. And we would do that in the cases where our budget has to change, because we do our budget based on the May revision. That is not the actual budget. That's what the governor would like to have. And then the legislature does what they see fit. In this case, the legislature did a little bit of a fast one, and ultimately, I think, a good one for us. What they did, you can look, if you start at the bottom, the one-time mandate revenue, we thought we were going to get $3.1 million. We ended up with about $1.6 million. They cut the one-time money significantly, but they put it into the LCFF. And so as opposed to getting a flat per ADA across the state, getting that back in LCFF is two things. One, it weights it towards districts like ours that have a high unduplicated count, number one. Number two, that's ongoing money. So yes, it's a shortfall in this year, but it is more and more revenue in the out years. You can see over a three-year period, that is a net benefit of about $612,000. So short-term loss, long-term gain. And with that, I'd field any questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hudson. With that, do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
7 yes. Resolution 2018-19/12, adoption of the 2018-19 GAN limit and the 2017-18 recalculations. Is there any discussion on that, Mr. Hudson?
Sure. I'm getting a lot of talking time today. The GAN limit, we talked about this last year. It's an annual requirement. It was put in place back in the mid-70s as a means of controlling California state total government growth. So this is really a state requirement, and every public entity calculates their GAN limit, and we just submit it up to the state, and then it becomes a state issue to deal with that we haven't outgrown, and we're in nowhere near outgrowing what that calculation would be. It's really archaic. Most people I know suggest it should have been repealed a long time ago, but it, for whatever reason, has not. And so it's fairly academic from our point of view.
Thank you. With that, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. In closing, Mr. Fleury?
Yes, we would like to close.
Seven yes. I'm sorry, Mr. Director.
That's all right. We would like to close the board meeting in memory of Betty Palmer. Betty was a teacher at Oliphurst Elementary School. I understand she was Gay's mentor. Many years ago, my daughter worked with her. Lori worked with her. And I was fortunate enough, I grew up down the street from her in the little town of Hamilton, which was the end of Hamilton Road. It was a great place to live, to grow up, and she was just an amazing individual, and we were lucky to have had her in this district, so I would like to close the board meeting in her memory.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury, and I know Aunt Betty would love to hear that. So, also, I would like to, again, welcome Lori and Tim and Eric. Thank you for coming to our meetings for next few months. With that, meeting adjourned.
Excited, John.
Volunteering.
Yeah.